52 years ago today, 3-year-old Cheryl Jean Grimmer disappeared from outside the chain sheds at Fairy Meadow Beach in Wollongong in New South Wales. She was spending the day with her mother and her three brothers. She was enjoying a day out when 7-year-old Ricky Grimmer, her brother, who was the last person to see her alive.
And I said to her, come on, Mum, you're going to get into trouble. You know, if I have to go down and get her, you're going to be in big trouble. And that's when I made that error to go down and get my mother. When we came up, I was probably standing somewhere here, and my mother, first of all, went into the ladies. And then she sort of walked around. There was still no panic from my mother. I mean, there was no need to be. So she walked around a couple of times. She was looking around, and then she started sort of saying, you know, where did you leave her? And that's when she started shaking me a little bit there. And I just said, I just left her just in the doorway. And then she started asking other people for help. If they'd seen a little girl. Then everybody started calling out her name. I didn't know anything about kidnapping, abduction, or still wish I didn't.
That's the voice of Ricky Grimmer describing the day his sister Cheryl went missing. Despite extensive searches at the time and over the years, she's never been found. In 2017, an arrest was made, but the charges were dropped after a key piece of evidence was ruled inadmissible ahead of a trial in the New South Wales Supreme Court. Well, John Kay is a presenter and news correspondent with the BBC. He's produced this new podcast investigating the case. It's called Fairy Meadow, and John Kay joins us now from Manchester in the UK. Welcome to Breakfast.
Hey, good morning.
When did you first hear about this disappearance in England, and why and how?
Yeah, Hamish, I live and work in the city of Bristol in the southwest of England, and I've been a reporter there for years and years, and I know the most of the stories about the place. And about 6 years ago, I got an alert on my phone, as I often do. It contained the word Bristol, and it was about this little girl called Cheryl Grimmer, who'd come from Bristol, migrated to Australia, and then had been abducted, it's assumed, had vanished from Fairy Meadow Beach decades ago. And I'd never heard of her. I'd never heard of her name. I'd never heard of the case, which surprised me because every detail in it was so compelling. It was the kind of story that I thought I would have heard about. So I started knocking on doors here in England, trying to talk to the family members who'd stayed behind here, who hadn't migrated, and they just didn't want to talk to me. It was a private matter. It was something they didn't want to address. But eventually, I contacted Ricky, who you just heard, Cheryl's oldest brother. He was coming back to the UK, and we met up and had a coffee. And I just sat there in a cafe listening to him for hours as he told me about that day, the 12th of January, this day, 1970, when he turned his back for a few seconds and never saw his sister again. And he told me how the impact had been on him and the guilt that he'd felt ever since about the way it had affected his life and his family's life, and what it was like for the family to have no conclusion, no answers. And the more I listened, the more I wanted to tell his story. And the result of that today is we're launching this 8-part BBC podcast series, just looking at it from the day it started until now.
And you travelled to the community where this happened. What did you find about it back in the 70s?
Yeah, I mean, I think what was interesting was that it was a beautiful, sunny day. And the irony of that is just so cruel, isn't it? I mean, this was a family who'd left cold, wet England, had arrived in the Australian sunshine that January day. And, you know, they were on the beach. You know, they must have dreamt of that fresh new start, that new life. And Cheryl vanished in those conditions. The wind changed that afternoon. The southerly buster came in. There was panic and confusion on the beach. And it was in that confusion, it seems, of people picking up their kids and getting out of the wind and out of the sand blowing around, that somehow, it seems, somebody was able to take her away. and she was never found. And I think what's interesting is that, you know, it was a place of movement at that time. There was a migrant shelter nearby where the Grimmer family were living. There were loads of migrant families on the beach. There was movement from abroad to Australia. Then there was lots of movement by those people within Australia. And so, in a way, I guess what happened was the story of what happened, maybe crucial bits of detail that people might have seen things kind of dispersed with those people around the country. So what we've tried to do is, you know, ask, are there clues that maybe weren't taken seriously at the time or were missed completely at the time? Are there people out there who saw something and moved away and didn't even realize that this had gone on? You know, are there ways of bringing this pain for the family finally to an end?
A man was charged back in 2017. The charges then dropped. What happened?
Yes, well, that was all about a piece of evidence which police had rediscovered years later. They brought it to court. There was a prosecution. And then a judge ruled that evidence was inadmissible and the case was dropped. He cannot be identified because of a court order. So we look at that. We look at what happened with that extraordinary legal process. But we do more than that with this story. We look at other stuff as well. So there were other suspects at the beginning. People talked about, very specifically, about cars that were spotted in the area around Fairy Meadow that afternoon. There was a very vivid description of what was described as a Mediterranean man, a middle-aged man seen running away from the beach, apparently with a child wrapped in a towel. So we look at that. And this weird thing that happened, Hamish, a couple of days after Cheryl disappeared, her family and the police were sent a ransom note saying that they would return Cheryl if they were given, who wrote this, $10,000. Now, it came to nothing. Obviously, we know that. But we've gone back and looked at that ransom note as part of the series and asked, you know, is there anything in there that we can learn from it? It was dismissed as a hoax, as a prank, as a joke at the time. Some sort of, you know, sick person had done it. But, you know, we wondered, is there information in there? Are there clues in there that could possibly provide some kind of answers?
Does the family continue to hold out hope?
They do. They do. At least they hope they will get answers. I mean, I think for many years they thought that Cheryl might turn up. They thought there might be a knock on the door, they've told me. Ricky's told me that so many times. They live, you know, his parents lived with the hope that there would be a knock on the door and this young woman might appear and say, "I'm Cheryl." You know, that in a way that sounds extraordinary that people could have that hope for that long, but I suppose you'd never give up, would you? You'd never give up hope. And what's more, they've had women have come forward to them over the last 50 years and have claimed to be Cheryl Grimmer. We talk about a situation where that happened as well, you know. So when that kind of thing happens now and again, when there's a potential breakthrough now and again, a new police appeal, $1 million reward as there is now, I guess you never stop hoping that maybe it'll happen. I mean, Cheryl's parents, Vince and Carol, they died a few years ago, both of them, without ever knowing. And their three sons, their surviving children, told them on their deathbeds that they would keep fighting. They'd keep looking. And that's what they intend to do until they get something.
John Kay, thank you. That's the John Kay. That's the BBC's John Kay. Episodes 1 and 2 of Fairy Meadow are available now on BBC Sounds or wherever you get your podcasts.